Brother Rex Maughan is going to bring the Word of God to us this morning, so let's just open up our hearts and receive the message from the Lord through Rex this morning. God bless you.
Good to see you all out this morning. Hope I won't be too short. I believe my last sermon was a little short, and even though I know God wanted me to speak what I did speak on, even though I wrote two other sermons, but he kept drawing me back to the first one that I wrote the first time. But I won't bore you with stuff like that this morning. But as I prepared a sermon today, and I looked, and I looked, and I looked, and I looked, and I called Pastor, of course. I always get nervous, which I am probably a little bit right now, and always feel, you know, what am I doing? I can't do this, you know. But I even called Pastor Craig. I said, hey, buddy, kick in here for me. He says, well, you know, I'd really like to. And about 10 minutes later, he finally says, oh, yeah, well, whatever. If you can't do it, I'll kick it, you know. But anyway, of course, he's not up here. I am. But as I looked through the Bible to bring you a message today, I started to get the feeling that as Christians, we tend to get off track and let our minds wander. And every time I open up the Bible to find something to preach on, my mind would just simply wander, you know. It usually does when I'm either talking or listening to a sermon or driving my truck or mowing the lawn, which probably reminds me I probably should. See, I get off track. I want to get back on track. I want to get back to where I need to be. So I look for perseverance to keep my mind in focus of what the Lord wants and asks from me, and also we should persevere to what He wants us to do. Today I want to talk to you about two main parts of our Christian walk in which we need to persevere, carry on. We need to persevere in our daily living and in our faith. Sounds easy already, doesn't it? As pastors or even Christians, we know it's not. But in each, there's always persecutions, difficulties. But I hope today I can just encourage and uplift you. The Christian walk is like unto a race in Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, how many people here today have patience? Boy, no one? We're patiently awaiting the Lord's return, aren't we? Amen. But we're supposed to be doing something too, aren't we? Yes, we are. We're supposed to be winning souls for Christ. But just remember, works do not save you. Your works and obedience to God show your salvation. Faith without works is dead, according to James 2:17. Excuse me. Did you drink out of one of these? Okay, I'll take it. All right. Handing out a few pennies to the poor doesn't take much effort. But what if God asks you to do seems just impossible? Maybe it's praying for one another, going to someone in need, or if God says, I need you to say this one word to somebody. We need to do it. We need to do it. Because God gives us the strength. As long as we look to Him, we'll have the ability to do what He commands us to do. So we need to conquer our fear of failure. Jesus has exactly what you and I need to stay on the task at hand. So if you turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 4 through 6. And I'll give you a moment to turn there. And if you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pews. And it says here, verse 4, beginning with verse 4, Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their head, and give them for prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee.
for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So we built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Now you're probably going, what is he talking about? Well, if you wanted to go back, you can go back just a little ways and see what was actually going on here. You'll find that there is ridicule, the cause for discouragement and despair for building this wall. You'll also find that instead of exchanging words with the ridiculers, that Nehemiah built this wall so he can't see over the other side. No, I'm just kidding. Just see if you're all focusing. You know, Nehemiah. No, that's a little joke. Anyway, Nehemiah had simply but effectively began to pray. He got on his hands and knees and prayed to God that the people will continue to work. And so they did. And that's what I really want you to see today, is how the work on the wall had progressed well, because the people had set their hearts and minds on accomplishing the task set before them. Do you have the strength to persevere? Do you today? Do you have the strength to continue? Do you have the strength to take ridicule from one another? Can you just stop for a minute when you're in that ridicule? Stop and just get on your hands and knees and pray. Because I tell you today, if you do that, as Christians, we are called to do that, but if you do that, God will surely show you your rewards. The rewards that God has in store for you are just beyond belief and well worth the extra effort we put in. We need to persevere in our faith. There are many doctrines out there that claim to be able to get you to heaven. And we all know that. Know the truth. Stand upon it. Listen to the word. Dwell on it. Pray continually. It doesn't say stop. You don't have to, you know. Do it. Even though the other ways seem easier, God didn't say that being a Christian would be easy. I don't know how many people here think being a Christian is easy. This is a snap. Because if this is a snap, then I challenge you to read your Bible. Because you know that there is persecution as being a Christian. But the world's way may seem fun for a season, but eternity lasts forever. This is but just a short time we have here on earth. Let's use it wisely. Another verse to memorize is Matthew, if you could turn with me, Matthew 24, verse 13. Then it says here, but he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. What does this mean? What does this mean to you? I want you to just look inside your hearts this morning. What does this mean to you? But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. Well, let's look and see. Who said these words? Who said these words? Our King, Lord Jesus, the one who never lied, the one that went to the cross for you and I, who died for our sins, took on the pain, took on the stripes, the nails in his hands. He hung there. Best of all, he rose again. But in this passage, Jesus knew his followers would be severely persecuted by those who hated what he stood for. In the midst of terrible persecutions, we need to know where we stand and what we're standing upon. Our hope must be firm in Jesus. Times of trials and severe persecutions. Now this is a tough one. I argue with even saying this one. But this is the truth. Times of trials and severe persecution seem to sift true Christians from unbelievers and fair weather Christians. There's a storm coming. I tell you, I don't want to be a fair weather Christian. I want to stand firm. I want to be planted. And I want God to do the planting. Just remember, that when you are pressured to give up, to turn your back on Christ, three little words, just three little ones to remember. Don't give up. Remember the benefits of standing firm and continue to live for Christ. How many people here have heard of Nathan Hale? Ever heard of Nathan Hale? His famous quote, as they came to execute him, "I regret that I have but one life to lose for my country." We as Christians have but one life to live for our Lord. Now, if you turn with me to Mark chapter 13, verse 13. Here it says, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved." Cool. This reminds me of my life completely. I used to be a sinner. I don't want to tell too many people that. But I want to tell people that Jesus Christ saved me from my sin. That's what I want to tell people. I volunteered three people. I would like them to come up. I already pre-selected. Pastor, I want you to stand right here. Right there. Craig, I want you to stand over here. Right, turn around. Right here. And Peter, I want you to stand up here. Now, I'm not very good with illustrations, but I'm going to illustrate my life in a nutshell, okay? Not in a walnut either, but anyway, just bear with me. I'm going through life, and I got my sin on my shoulder. It's my good times, my great parties, my friends. Now I'm hustling along, and I walk up to my buddy Craig. We're hanging out. We're just doing stuff, you know. Yeah, we're just having a good old time. Whoa, I feel really cool now. I'm getting down, you know. I'm getting down with Craig. He's got some stuff I want, you know. He's just super cool. I'm just cruising along, feeling myself kind of, you know, wow, this is great. One day I'm in the deep despair of my life. What am I going to do? You know? But I heard of this guy, Christian. This is Christian over here. I heard of him, but I never wanted to be him because he didn't do nothing fun, you know, and he just didn't have any good times. But all the sin, it just pushed me right down to my hands and knees. So, God, please forgive me for my sins. Come into my life. Release me from this enemy that dwells within me, Lord. I don't know if you all can still see me. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. This is no laughing matter. I'm giving up all this stuff on my back that me and my buddy Craig, it's over. It's over. The weight is gone. Amen. Christian sticks out his hand. He says, "Hey, I'm going to help you up." So I'm weak, you know. He pulls me up. He cuddles me in, you know. Wow, I'm getting some strength back. I'm starting to feel pretty good. My back feels good, you know. Remember, I got back problems. Never mind. I don't remember that. Anyway, Christian and I, we had quite a talk. And I gave my life to the Lord. No more sin. I want you to stand there for a minute. No more sin. But yet I know him, so I'm telling him, you know, about my buddy, you know. And we're discussing it. We're talking it over. He says, "Well, we can pray for him." Okay. So I get my Bible. And I start to pray. And as I pray, I got to go away from Christian. I got to work. I got to do my stuff. You know, I got to get back to work. And all of a sudden, I bump into this guy. Who's this guy? He was sin. He was a Christian. This guy here is just, I don't know him. "Hey, I got to tell you about Jesus, man. And what he did for me." I could see you're getting kind of low there. But let me just help you up. I'm reading my Bible. I'm reading the Word. You know, and all of a sudden I'm praying for this guy. This guy gets to know this guy. He's up. He knows who Jesus is. And all of a sudden, this guy, I told him about Jesus. He comes over to our group, not saying our church. I'm just saying our group, you know. And pretty quick, we got a commanding lead on Satan. We're all jumping. All right. Satan's down below. Now, we got him under our feet. Hey, you guys can sit down. We got the power. We got prayer. We got everything going for us. We're working hard for one another. And we're seeing the change. The change in people. We're working together. Just wanted you to see that. But anyway. So how about you this morning? Are you doing that? Just ponder on that for a second, you know. Are you doing that? I struggle with that one myself. You know? Man, that's a tough one. But I'm looking forward to His coming. I'm looking forward to Jesus coming back. But you know what? Just because I'm looking forward doesn't mean I got to quit praying. Doesn't mean I got to quit helping other people. I got to do that because God asked me to do. We have to remember, enduring to the end does not earn salvation for us, but marks us as already saved. The assurance of our salvation is through Jesus Christ, and He is the only one that would give us the strength in times of persecution. I had no strength coming from that over there to there. I was down on my knees. I got to Christian, and he says, "Hey, let me pray for you." And I gave up my garbage. I turned to God, turned to Jesus. I want to see what He has for me. Now, if you turn once again with me to Hebrews chapter 3. You know, before I read, I want to go back here just for a second. You know, something just came on me. I want you to know, I think this is very important. I want you to know that when I was coming across to Christian, and I became a Christian, and I was reading my Bible, working my way, wanting to tell others, I still prayed for that guy over there. I still prayed for my buddy, that he would find the truth. He would find the answers just as I did. I don't know if I went into that, but that's what I'm still doing. I got friends out there still in trouble, still in need of Jesus. But I don't want to lose the hope that I have for them. I don't want to lose the hope that I have for someone else. That's why we need to endure it. We have to have the strength to keep going on. Now in Hebrews chapter 3, 6 through verses 6 through 9. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast to the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. This is Paul's example of what he means by Christ's house, which he is building. Today we are that house. Together we are that church. We should be that church. I know you're going to get into that Sunday school next week. But it's only if we meet the condition of being a member of it, and if we hold fast to perseverance and the confidence of rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. So then, I, Rex Mon, you guys can come to this if you want to, but I come to an agreement of five major things we must do till the end. Number one, endure till the end to be saved. This said in Matthew 10:22, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth till the end shall be saved. Also Matthew 24:13, as I said earlier, but he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. It's just something I have to work on personally in my life. Enduring, having the strength, perseverance, persevering. But I got the confidence that Jesus Christ is going to give it to me. And I hope that we all do. Number two, hold fast the hope of eternal life to the end. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6, as I had repeated earlier. Number three, hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. Hebrews chapter 3, 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. Our hearts turn away from the living God because we lack the perseverance. We then become stubborn in our own belief, and eventually sin is in and God is out. Garbage in, good out. Good in, good stays. You know? Don't let that garbage take a foothold. Once Satan takes a foothold, he's got you. You just let him in just for a little bit. He's got you. I don't want to be gotten. I don't know how many people want to be gotten. That's why we rely on the fact that God gives us a new heart, new desires, new spirits. Ezekiel chapter 36 talks about this very thing, and I'm going to read it to you. You can turn there. Chapter 36, verse 22. If you could turn there if you want, but I'm just going to read it. 22 through 27. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy namesake, which ye have profaned among the heathen. whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you unto your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from your filthiness, and from your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Okay. That's tough. To prevent having an unbelieving heart, we need to stay in fellowship with other believers. Talk daily about our mutual faith. Be aware of the deceitfulness of sin. The devil attacks. He attacks, but that's not all he does. He destroys quickly. That's why we need to encourage one another with love and concern and hope. Number four of my points, show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. What does hope do? What does hope do? Well, let's take a look. The Packers. Oh, let's talk about the Packers. They had hope that they would win every game. They had hope that they would be able to not get hurt out on the field. You know, as much as I love football, I don't know if I could play. My wife would say, yes, you would, but I probably would, but I'd get hurt. You know, an athlete, a Christian, we rely on the hope that we can endure and even win the race that we're set out to do. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Went to the cross, died, and rose again. And we train hard to persevere, especially with Jesus. If we train hard, we can persevere, especially with Jesus in the front, making the path. You know what, folks? That's where he belongs. That's where Christ belongs, out in the front, making the path. continuing. We're doing this for a reason, though. We always do things for a reason. We want to get to heaven. We want the rewards, the promises that He has so given us. Number 5. Overcome and keep Christ's works to the end. Turn with me, please, to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. And it says here, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." Who will give power? The Lord God Almighty will I, he says, give power over the nations. We're talking about perseverance, staying filled with the Holy Spirit, continuing. Jesus says that those who overcome, those who remain faithful until the end and continue to please God, will rule over Christ's enemies and reign with Him as He judges evil. Does that sound like where we all want to go? We want to be with Jesus. I believe that's where we, as a Christian, that's where we want to go. But can we handle the persecution? Can we handle the trials, the temptations to quit? Some of us can't. Some of us can. But if we are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, I know that I can rely on others who are the same to help me, and for myself to help them. And together we can reap the rewards. Now, Nora and I just watched our wedding video a while back. And our vows might be a little different from some of yours. And one of the main parts we picked out is we did not vow until death do us part, but we vowed until death we gain. Till heaven, I'm sorry, that sounded bad. Till heaven we gain. There we go. Just want to see if you are listening, you know. Till heaven we gain. Let that be your goal today and every day. Don't endure until death takes you. Preserve. Persevere until heaven you gain. Here's a little poem that I like. When things go wrong as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but never quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns about when he might have won if he'd stuck it out. Stick to your task. Though the pace seems slow, you may succeed with one more blow. Success is failure turned inside out. Though silver tint of the clouds of doubt, and you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worst that you mustn't quit. That's the truth. How many people here have a job that they know they have to do tomorrow? You just have to go, don't you? You have to go. You have to get it done. Well, let me add some more to your job. Don't be afraid to tell others about Jesus Christ. Let me just add that. Don't give up. You mustn't quit. You mustn't. I don't remember Jesus ever saying, "Quit today." I don't remember ever saying, "You can slow down." People came to him. People just came to him. Why? Because they knew they had to be there. They had to be there. They had to get blessed. You want to get blessed today? Do what Jesus asks of you. That's what it all boils down to. It's plain and simple. But it's hard. Put your gloves on. Wear some work clothes. It's going to get rough. Now can I have you just, like everyone just to bow their heads and close their eyes. Now I just want you to think about this, what I'm about ready to say. Now of the things I talked about this morning, they're only possible if you are born again. If you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your life. If you've asked Him to be your Lord and Savior. Let's just look at your life for a minute. I suggest if you don't know if you are saved this morning, now is the time. Now is the time. If you'd like to ask Jesus into your heart, into your life, into your soul, that sin you've been dragging around seems heavy, and your knees are weak, you can't take the pressure anymore. God knows. I want you to lift your hand right now. I want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not going to embarrass anyone this morning. But if you lifted your hand this morning, I just want you to know that God loves you. I want you to know that God loves you and He cares for you. I just want you to repeat after me this morning. Oh, precious Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. I want you in my life. I want to be saved, Lord. I want your work to be my work, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Please, Lord, give me a new spirit. A new spirit that lives for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I have another question. Are you in need of prayer today? Because of rough times ahead? Do you feel like the wind is blowing so strong that the race is hard? The race is hard to run. Is there someone you know that is in need of perseverance? Is there someone you know that is in need of Jesus Christ? Is there someone you know that needs you to pray right now? You know, Jesus asks us to pray. Jesus wants you to come. I want you to come. I want you to come up here right now. So we can pray for you. So we can pray through you. We want to pray together. Just come up. If you're in need of prayer, just come up. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus wants to encourage you to never quit. And He wants to safely see you endure until the end. I just want to encourage you today to come and endure with me until the end. Together we can persevere and become strong in the faith of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like everyone to lift up their heads. And then I'd like you to stand. I normally like to do this. I like each one just to grab their neighbor by the hand and just hold their hand as we sing this next song. Striving for today,
work together to get people saved. Don't let the persecutions tear you down. Don't let the times of despair and trial take you down. Trust in the Lord Jesus to